Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It is I, Minister Dale Kendrick. Let me get a second here. Just go live on my Facebook. Good afternoon. It is I, Minister Dale Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 3:03 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and God is on the throne. God is on the throne, friends, and we are not alone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to just welcome you back this evening for another time in God's Word. We are live on the podcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're live on Foot Live here, and we're live in Southern California. We're live because the Lord has made us alive. We're alive because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And in Him and Him alone, I am born again. Greetings. My friends, God is good. And I want us to understand that because God is good, we can avoid these pitfalls of apostasy. There's a great falling away happening nowadays, friends, in the church, the quote-unquote church. There's a great falling away among young people today who were raised in the church, raised with a foundation, and then they turn from the true and living God and turn to idols. There's a great falling away because, friends, we're not grounded and rooted in our most holy faith. And it's up to us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. God puts in, He puts the Holy Spirit in the true believer, the authentic believer. And it's those who truly confess and repent, those who truly surrender themselves to God's will and not their will be done. Good evening, Brother Ron. Good evening, Sister Marion. God bless each and every one of you. here. We're live on the podcast. You can call in 646-668-8468, or you can listen or watch us, listen on the podcast on Facebook, or as well as watch us on Facebook Live today. Blessings to everybody. I pray that you had a safe Memorial Day. I want to continue to lift up those veterans who or family members who lost veterans, or family members who have been a veteran and you survived and God allowed you to be here. Praise the Lord that you gave your service for your country, and now you're serving the Lord, those who are born again believers. Amen. So we want to invite the Lord in to come in to minister with us today, that he would give us a word of encouragement, not to be one of those that's taken captive by the great apostasy. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. It's up for us to pursue after the abundant life. It's up for us to pick up our cross daily. I talked about that earlier. There's an apostasy that wants to get a hold of all of us, a great falling away. But it's up to us to fight the good fight. Amen? So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for just giving us your word, your truth, Lord God, which is a warning book, which is a book that helps us. By reading it, by studying it, by applying it, Lord God, we can stay far away from the tactics of the enemy. We can stay far away from those things which will come along and cause us to stumble and fall and give in to those deceptions. We know the enemy is a liar, but we sometimes still fall for the okey-doke. Lord, it's time for us to mature as men and women in the faith. It's time for us to grow in our faith. We don't want to just be a Sunday morning Christian, or we don't want to be a Christian just in name, but we've really never had no strong faith, never really been committed. Lord, you show us that this commitment is like a marriage to you. It's a marriage to you first. Without a true covenant relationship, there will be no commitment. Lord, we need you, Lord. So we ask right now, Lord, that we decrease, that you increase, and that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts and minds. Teach us the way, Lord God. Teach us the way and teach us your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Welcome again, friends, and I want to just thank you. The calling number 646-668-8468. If you have a question afterward, we'll take open up the phone lines for those who might want to call in and express a question or comment, anything you might have to share. Also, if you're on Facebook Live, hit the share button. Share with your friends and family. Let them know that word is going forth right now. Amen. Again, friends, we are living in days of apostasy. And we're going to see from God's word how serious it is. Because Paul wrote a letter. He wrote a warning to the church in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He wrote a letter to the church of what was going to happen. There was perilous times that were going to come, and this was going to be a time of a great falling away. It was going to be a time of a great apostasy. Let's see what the Word of God says, because I don't want nobody to think I made it up. Let's see what the Word of God says. Starting in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men or women will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Then he goes on and gives us a commandment what to do. "And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and captives, gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will not progress no further, for their foolish or their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. Father God, we thank you for the reading of the word, and we ask, Father God, that you give us clarity as we examine what apostasy looks like as today, the times that we live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, friends, this time of apostasy is a time of hardship. It's a time, there was a great persecution taking place in Paul's day. There was the church was being scattered abroad because people were coming to the faith. There were many people being saved, and anytime there's a revival take place, there's also going to be great trials and tribulations. But this was a time where Paul was saying, he was given an exhortation, and he wanted them to endure the hardship, be diligent, and to rightly divide the word. That's what he was in verses 3 through 1. He wanted them to rightly divide the word. See, they needed to understand that they needed to examine what was happening around them. We need to examine what's happening around us. We don't need to get weary and get to a place where we're worried and full of anxiety. He told us don't be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. He didn't tell us who's going to be problem free either, did he? It's up to us to examine ourselves, to examine the situations around us, because God has already told us there's going to come a time where he said that in the gospel in Matthew chapter 24, that there was going to be a time where there would be a loveless society. The people would not love. It would be loveless. You even find that in marriages. It started with the family. You look back 40, 50, 60 years ago where the family was more intact than it is today, because it's easy to walk away. It's easy to say, I don't want to be here anymore because you don't meet the criteria of what I want you to be. See, there's a falling away even in the marriage. There's an apostasy in marriage. Well, I loved you when I said I do, but 2 years, a year, 6 months later, well, I don't feel like I love you anymore. I don't feel like I love you anymore. See, and our feelings they go in and out. So if we trust them, friend, it don't take much for our feelings to start to basically deceive us and lead us astray. Now, you might not like the way the person treats you or the way a person is acting towards you, but love is not based on feelings and emotion. Let's get that, because Christ died for us not because he felt like dying for us. He died for us because we needed him to die for us, because there was no other way. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we were sinners, separated from God. We hated God. We lived a life opposed to God's standard. Yet he went to the cross and died for us. He suffered an agonizing death on your behalf and on my behalf. And he never said one time that I did it because I felt good about doing it for you. He just said, I did it because I loved you. I did it because it needed to be done. You needed to be redeemed. While you were yet sinners, when you were yet a sinner, I needed to die for you. Otherwise, you would have died and perished in your sin. There was no other way. God didn't wait till I started feeling good about him before he died for me. No, he died for me before I even felt anything towards him. Good afternoon, Brian. Amen. Thank you, brother. We get caught up in, we talk about, well, you know, I don't feel like the Lord loves me. I don't feel like brother and sister love me. I don't feel like the pastor like me. I don't feel. And maybe those are just your false feelings dictating your faith. Because see, we only love God because we felt like something. Might be many days where we really don't show and demonstrate our love for Him when God's not even talking to us or speaking to us or speaking through us. There could be times in your life where you feel like you're deserted, but God has never left us or forsake us because we have the Holy Writ, the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit which lives in us, and it's not based on how I feel. It's based on what He promised, and we also have His promises which are irrevocable. He can't lie. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Here we're told, here there's an exhortation of this chapter to endure work, to endure hardship, be diligent, rightly divide the word, and be a vessel for the master's use, are given in the context of difficult, even perilous times. Last days include the whole times from the writing of this letter until the return of Christ. You and I must understand, friends, that our God has been preparing us since the beginning of time to endure hardship. Not endure flowers and rose gardens and parades. And this is not some big old picnic, friends. This is a time of there's going to be some agonizing struggle to get to glory. And he was telling his readers, but know this. In other words, I'm not lying to you. Paul is saying, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, know this, that there's going to come some, in the last days, perilous times. Perilous times. It includes the whole time from the writing of this letter until the return of Christ. Perilous times. Now, you'll hear people in today's church this. In this prosperity movement or this positive thinking movement, that you don't have to worry about nothing. Everything is good. Everything is positive. Everything is all right. Everything is going to be good. Your life is just one big old parade. There's no trials and tribulations. A trial would be if you don't get what you want because you couldn't afford something at the store when you went out there, or you couldn't afford to buy this Cadillac over a Mercedes. See, we get caught up in that. Because, see, in the Western culture, we've been told that we're blessed if you got more stuff. You're blessed because you got a big house. You're blessed because you got a wife. You're blessed because you got a husband and children and so on and so on and so on. No, how about being blessed because you're a child of God? How about being blessed because you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? That's what a blessing is. Because Paul is telling us here that there's a perilous times are coming, and there's going to be people, men, mankind will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. These are people who are braggers or boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemy. They're disobedient to parents. And we not live in a society that shows such disregard for their mothers and fathers to the point where they're killing their mothers and fathers. I was reminded a few days ago of a young woman who killed her father back in Katy, Texas. This was back when I was living in Houston a few years back, and how she killed her father while he was asleep because he took her cell phone, which he bought. Great apostasy. Great apostasy, friends. She shot her father. She shot her father because he took something that he bought for her, but because she was disrespectful, because she didn't appreciate it, because she was no longer going to reap the benefits of a phone, because she was disrespectful and ungodly. Look at this. They say, lovers of themselves. See, when you become selfish and self-centered, friends, you'll do anything. You'll kill your mother, father, and the dog to go with them. Everybody's up for grabs. Amen, Brian. my old hometown. But this is not nothing new under the sun. This is a life without Christ, friends. It leaves you spiritually bankrupt. And if you're spiritually bankrupt, you are open for the you're open vessel for the enemy of God to use you and abuse you and take you captive. And this is where you get people who says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderer, without self-control. So you become, you're open season for the enemy, and he's going to use you and play you, and this is where the great apostasy comes in. You basically walk away from what God says is truth. You walk away to the lie. It doesn't matter how many years you sat in church. That's the lie of the devil, to think that just because you sat in church that you're part of the church. Oh, you could have a whole lot of information that you can quote, but how much of it do you own, and how much of it does it own? How much of it does it own you? How much of the Word of God owns you? See, because when your life has been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not selfish and self-centered. You're not saying, hey, how can I get what God, why can I get all the blessings? No, you say, Lord, how can I be a blessing? Lord, how can I be a blessing to my brother and sister? How can I lift up and encourage somebody else? You're not always with your hand out. Give me, my name Jimmy. You're not that person. See, there's an apostasy in this world right now. People are void of God. Look, God is always expressing himself throughout all of creation, but they can't see him. They can't experience him because they already have put a wall up. They basically closed God out. They shook their fists at him. America's done that back in the 60s when we no longer allowed prayer in school. Used to be a time we had prayer in school before school started. Used to have the Pledge of Allegiance in school. And slowly but surely we started removing God and his hand in America. It was very subtle, but all it took was a few people to basically say, we don't need all that. We don't need religion. Separation of church and state. The devil has been lying to us all along, drawing us into apostasy. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were never of us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. See, there's going to be some people that sitting in the church, and they're going to be apostates. They're going to be goats. They've been pretending to be wheat, but they're really goats. These are people who have been playing the role of a servant of Jesus Christ. They never knew him. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. See, it's not what we say, my friends. It's not how many church conferences we attend. It's not how many church functions we attend. It's not how many church meetings you attend. It's not how many Bible scriptures you know. It's about, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And do others know that you know Jesus? So you can only wear that mask of religion and hypocrisy for so long. You can only put on a mask for so long. Eventually, the real you is going to come peeking out from the mask. See, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 that we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when a true believer has been converted and regenerated, he or she has been made a new creation and old things have passed away. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just putting on some cheap garment. We're putting on the best of the best. You and I are being transformed and regenerated. We're being crucified daily. We're picking up our cross daily and working out our salvation daily. We're not just doing a religious act. We're sold out. We're here for the long haul, no matter what's going on. We're here for the eternity, for all eternity. We're ready to go to death for him because he died for us. Throughout the New Testament, we read where individuals apostatized from the faith, i.e. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5:1 through 10. Hymenaeus and Alexander, 1 Timothy 1:19 through 20. I mean, you know, First Timothy 1, verses 19 through 20, and 2 Timothy 4:14. Hymenaeus and Philetus, 2 Timothy 2:17 through 18, and Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10. These examples of apostasy should cause us to ask the following questions. What precipitates apostasy? What are some of the warning signs of people who leave the faith? Now, my thing is, some people believe that you lose your salvation. My belief on this, and I can truly attest to it from Scripture, is that there are going to be people that will look just like Christians, they'll walk like Christians, as long as it does not cost them something. This is the key, friends. Long as it don't cost you nothing, long as your life is easy and you've got all your needs met and everything is going well, there's no persecution, there's no loss of anything, there's nothing that's trying your faith. It's easy to play the role. Look, if you were on some island somewhere and there's 20 or 30 people and you're the only Christian there, not really going to cost you nothing, maybe, because it might be all family members there. It's not going to really cost you anything because nobody's persecuting you. You're religious free. No biggie. But when you stand against millions or hundreds of thousands of people, and it's now, and you go to a school or something where they're challenging your faith, calling you Jesus freak, and you have to make a stand for righteousness over religion, and I mean righteousness in the sense of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, he is the righteous one. Where religion is no big deal. You know, you just kind of, so whatever man calls, whatever your religion causes you to stand for, you don't really have to submit to. You don't really have to submit to the point it costs you anything. But I'm talking about a true relationship with Jesus Christ will cost you everything. So we're going to look at these four examples of apostasy. Four examples of apostasy. Some leave the faith because of persecution. Matthew 13:31 and Revelation 2:10. Others fall away because of not understanding the permissive will of God. See, they haven't realized what it's going to cost them. They haven't realized that God has set the standard, and the standard is Christ, and he wants us to surrender our will to him. But see, some people don't understand it. They think that they just said a prayer because that's what a pastor told them to do. Come down the aisle, say a prayer, make a confession of faith, repent, and then go about your business. But it really didn't cost them anything because they didn't have to give up nothing. They just made a profession of faith, but they didn't have a possession of faith. You don't understand what you really are signing up for, then who's to say you really committed to it? Because if I told you that it's going to cost you your very life, if I was to tell you that following Jesus could get you killed, but you will have life eternity if your faith is genuine, if your faith is authentic. Number three, many Christian souls have become victims of false teachers. They've set up under the wrong doctrine. And when we sit up under wrong doctrine, friends, that means our Bibles are no longer, the Word of God is no longer speaking to us. Satan and his cohorts are speaking to us. Demons, fallen angels, you definitely can be played and deceived and taken advantage of. You'll start to believe that God saved you so you can get, name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it, and get your stuff. There are those who simply ease away from fidelity. So let's look at these. Let's look at these in the sense of what does the Bible say? Some leave the faith because of persecution. Matthew 13:21, he tells the story. Jesus spoke of the superficial person who endures for a while, but when tribulation arises and persecution arises of because of the word straightway or immediately stumbles. See, there's going to be those, if we live to see another day, there's going to be those friends that are living down here right now in America. I believe there's a great persecution coming to America. I really do. I believe God has to mold us, he has to shape us, and he needs to sharpen us and prune us, and he's going to do that by persecution in America. We've had it too easy, many centuries. God is going to have to get down to the finding out or exposing who the wheat are and who the chaff are. And in that, he's going to allow great persecution to come. They're going to come and put us in jail one day. They're going to come and take away your houses for being a Christian. They're going to come and take away and basically try to take away your family. They're going to try to take away your Bibles. Happens in China all the time. That's a normalcy over there. They got an underground church. Because to be a Christian literally means you will be put in prison. Smuggling, getting caught with Bibles, or if you go in smuggling Bibles from America, you can be put into a prison. You will be put into prison if you're caught. They're not being persecuted for being fake. They're being persecuted for being real. They're authentic. They're willing to die. They're willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, that the gospel would go forth. They Christians don't care nothing about the gospel. So we see here that these people were persecuted because of persecution arises, tribulation, and there's a great or an immediate falling away, and they stumble. The Christian is charged to be faithful, even if it means a forfeiture of his or her life. Revelation 2:10 tells us this. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer before the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Do you want your crown, friend? Then you got to be steadfast. You got to be steadfast. See, many people want a crown, but they don't want to suffer for anything. They don't want to go through nothing hard. I'm not going to suffer for anything. I want that. The pastor told me I was supposed to get my stuff. The pastor told me that I was entitled to. I was supposed to get. I just had to name it and claim it. I was going to get what I wanted because God was going to give me what I wanted, my stuff. What pastor lied? What's promised to us as believers, tell you the truth, is more trials and tribulations and a pruning. God is going to, he's going to burn off that dross off of us. He's going to sharpen our sword. We're going to go through the refiner's fire. True believers need to understand that it's appointed for us to suffer. It's appointed for man to die once, and then comes a persecution. They tell us to look for more stuff and the easy way out. He didn't have an easy way. He didn't have an easy way. Did you realize that Christ suffered? So we're going to suffer? Look back here in 1 Peter chapter. Look at what Christ tells us in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow, thereby if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as a living stone are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion and chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word which they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may what? Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Then he goes on in verse 11. Before I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against you, the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good work, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. He says that we're supposed to keep ourselves in a good manner so that if they come to persecute us, that it'll be a lie. He says, notice what he said, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, lifestyle, conduct, which they observe, they will glorify God in the day of your visitation. See, it's one thing to be accused of something because you did something wrong. It's another thing to be accused of something and it be found to be true. And that's the problem with the professing church nowadays. A lot of folks out here, they want grace, but they're living a shameful life. They're living a life of disgrace. You can't expect to have favor when you're not submitting on your job and doing what's right. Oh, they fired me. Well, why'd they fire you? Well, I came to work late every day. But I'm a Christian, and God gave me that job, and I should be able to. No, you have brought shame upon the name of God because you're professing Christ with your mouth, but your lifestyle, your walk is that of a heathen. You can't be at work on time, so you lose your job. You're there evangelizing while you're at work instead of talking to God while you're at work in prayer and supplicate, praying for opportunities to minister when you have your break, but you're over there doing work hours with an open Bible sitting down while everybody else works. You can't expect favor when you're not walking in favor with God. You're not walking in obedience to God. When you're making his name look bad and you're claiming, oh, well, they just don't like me because I'm a Christian. Okay. You can't get favor when you're out of favor. To the call of righteousness and holiness, you know, when you're doing what's right and you get persecuted, you count it all joy, as James tells us in 1 James. He tells us to count it all joy. We go through fiery trials. Not for being a knucklehead, but when you're going through fiery trials. He tells us here, James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 apostles, 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. The word perfect means complete. It means mature. Lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. See, a lot of us want favor. We don't want to walk in faith. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want to be obedient to God. And God says, I don't owe you anything when you walk disobedient. Walk disobedient and not in my word and truth. Because he already told us that we need to submit to our earthly masters, i.e. your boss. You're there to work. You don't get paid to goof around and talk back to the boss. It's his job, his company. You're commanded to work as unto the Lord. Do your job, hush, and watch God promote you and elevate you. You can't be claiming you're being persecuted because you've given them sloppy work and you're basically walking around there doing everything but your job. You ain't working unto the Lord, you're working for the enemy. Point number two, others fall away because not understanding the permissive will of God, i.e. his allowance of hardships as a consequence of humanity's initial rebellion. Look, friends, because of the fall, God allowed, his permissive will allowed death, sin, Satan, wickedness, malice, all these things. It allowed things to come into play. Man was given a choice. His choice was follow God and be blessed. Do not eat of that tree. Do not touch the tree. That's what he was told to do. Again, disobedience. God says don't do something, we do it anyway. As believers, I would say, oh, well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done that. I can't believe Adam and Eve done it. Okay. We can't even keep our hands off of things that don't belong to us now. We're cut full of coverage and greed and idolatry. His allowance of hardships as a consequence is because of humanity's initial rebellion. They blame the Creator for those dire circumstances that sometimes invade their lives. As a result, they walk away from the providence of God. One of the great lessons of the book of Job is that God does not shield his people, even the best, from life's tragedy. We must learn to trust our Maker no matter what happens. Job 13:15 tells us this. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. See, if you think your life is about you, and you have an ease and peace, and everything just going to be a big old fluffy flower and a big old cloud, and you're just chilling out, you're going to be disappointed. You'll walk away from God because you don't want to suffer. Because you want a God that makes you feel good versus a God that already has. He didn't come to make us feel good. He came to die for us that we would have faith in him, trust in him, belief on him. The moment we try to put God in our own little box and cubicle, we mess up. He God, we creation. We slaves. Daddy does know what's best for us. He told us in his word how we as believers should respond and act during trials. Count it all joy. Oh, that sounds funny, don't it? Count it all joy. I'm suffering. I'm going through. My wife loves me. My husband loves me. My kids don't listen to me. I can't get no love at the job. Everything I try to do, it's just falling apart. That's the count it all joy. You believe it, count it all joy. And you don't understand. I'm losing my house. I'm losing my car. I don't have nothing. God stripped. I've been stripped of everything. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. See, if you know his permissive will, you'll know that his permissive will allowed it. He allowed pain. He allowed suffering. He allowed persecution. He allowed these things. God says, all right, Satan, you can do whatever you want with Daryl, but just you can't kill him. And you put your name on that. Whatever it is you want to do, you just can't kill him. Point number three, many Christian souls have become victim of false teachers. A lot of false teaching out. We can spend so much time on false teachers. Go back and listen to my podcast on Second Peter chapter 2, Second Peter chapter 2, where I talk about false teachers. These people are wretched. They're wretched. They're ruthless. They're only concerned about your money, how they can manipulate you, how they can make you, basically, how they can control you. Not concerned about you growing in the faith. They're concerned about you giving them more money to their faith. And their faith is not founded upon Jesus Christ, even though they're trying to convince you that Christ is the Lord of their life. These are false teachers. There are those who seem to think that false teachers do not exist, but the Savior warned of his danger, Matthew 7:15, and subsequent history reveals the devastation of believing in error. 1 Timothy 4:1-3, 2 Timothy 4:1-4. In our own way, we have observed many yielding to the influences of denominationalism. I call it contaminationalism. From Nashville to Abilene to Malibu, defection from the ancient faith is apparent. The expression "the old path" has become a term subject to ridicule by a new clan of self-designated sophisticated, whose ambition seems to center in the fashioning of a church after their own personal desires. In other words, they make merchandise out of you, friends. They make merchandise out of you. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What the Spirit told Paul in the last days is going to happen. Some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith. And people are still departing from the faith, because they were never grounded and rooted in the faith, speaking lies and hypocrisy. We have to run and flee from any kind of false doctrine. Notice what Paul says in verse 1. Now the Spirit told him that, is speaking expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm telling you, friends, it's a great apostasy taking place all around the world. A lot of people have walked away from the faith. They had a solid footing in there, but the enemy came along and tripped them up and deceived them and made them believe that this doctrine was the true doctrine. They didn't have an open Bible, of course. They was there with a closed Bible, or they was there with somebody who was good at manipulating, and they do what we call an exegete of the scripture. You'll find somebody like a person like a Joel Osteen. He does it. He won't read the whole context of the scripture, but he'll read part and partial of the scripture and kind of make it fit into what his point is. But he won't read it in context. Not only will he not read it in context, he won't ever talk about sin. He acts like sin don't exist in the church. Like sin is not existing in the world. How do you correct people? What do you tell them? You just basically send them in. If they come in for counseling and they're out of order with God and they're in sin, what do you tell them? Oh, God loves you. God knows your heart. See, a pastor that won't preach on sin will not preach on sin or condemn sin or stand against sin or convict you because of your sin with the word of God is probably not a pastor called by God, because he's in sin. Hello. Because he's in sin, they can't tell you about sin. They don't want to talk about sin. They're not concerned. Look, don't talk to me about sin. We don't want to talk about sin. We want people to just feel good here. We need people to feel good. God's not concerned about us feeling good. He wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to live godly. God doesn't worry about us making us feel good. He wants to make us holy. 2 Timothy 4:1-4, he tells us this. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This was Paul commanded Timothy to do this very thing. Preach the word. Don't preach those things that are good only. He says, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Means to correct, bring wise counsel, reprove, encouragement, rebuke, exhort. Rebuke means to basically swing the sword to cut it with the intention to cut you. I want you to feel the sting of it, not to judge you, but to bring you to a right understanding that this was the rebuke was for you to grow, for you to be ministered to, that you would wake up. Too many people want to be treated with kid gloves and just soft. They want to be treated mushy, mushy, mushy. I just need to treat you like a big old ball of cotton candy. That's not Christianity. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and she'll be turned unto fables or fairy tales. Tell me we don't live in a time in a society where people are making up stuff that God never said. They're making up lies in the body of Christ because they're teaching lies and doctrines of demons. You know why? Because it's easy to win more people with that. If I tell you stuff that make you feel good, then you'll come back. If I give you the mushy, mushy stuff and the cotton candy and Snickers and Goobers and all that, then you'll come back because you got a sweet tooth. A lot of people in the church, a lot of folks who profess to be Christians have a sweet tooth, but they don't have a true relationship with God. Last point, friends. Last point of apostate. There will be those who simply ease away from fidelity. Fidelity, that means love. In an ever so gradual fashion, the writer of the book of Hebrews spoke of the distinct possibility of neglecting one's salvation, hence drifting away from the safe state. Hebrews 2:1-3. In our present environment, a busy activity, it is so difficult to allow life's distraction to choke out our passion for serving Christ. Matthew 13:22. So we subordinate to the interest of the Lord's kingdom to a multitude of trivial things. See, when you put other things before God, that becomes an opportunity for the enemy to come along and just slowly get you distracted. You know, many people claiming they have a relationship with God because they go back to what they did in 1965. And they're 70-some years old now, and they're still talking about what happened in 65, what happened in 75, what happened in 55, and so on, but there's no consistent, nobody really knows that they're a man or woman of God based on their day-to-day activity. They're holding on to what they did, the profession of faith, back in the 60s, but there was no profession of faith in their daily walk. There's no genuine love for God. There's not even a Sunday morning relationship. Oh, we just do our little devotional on the internet. We do our little devotion, but there's no interaction with other believers. For not a few worldliness has an allurement that has drawn many people, drawn them to destruction, much like the silly fly in Mary Howard's famous poem, The Spider and the Fly, who with flattery, was charmed into the spider's deadly web. Satan always looking for to draw us into the web of deceit. He loves to draw us away from the true word of God. He uses many different tactics. He sends prosperity to draw you away. He sends fame to draw you away. He sends prestige and people lifting you up. anything that he can get to draw us away, he'll use it. You have to ask yourself every day, who's the priority in your life, Dave? What's the priority in your life, Dave? Is God the priority in your life? Or you just pick up God when you're going through heartache, going through hard times? 2 Timothy 4:10 tells us this. For demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to the Galatians, Titus unto the Dalmatia. In other words, demons wanted, he had forsaken Paul. He had forsaken the faith because he loved this present world. The Bible clearly tells us to love not the world nor the things of this world, for the love of the Father is not in you. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. You have to ask yourself, where is your loyalty lie? Where does your loyalty lie? Does it lie with Christ and the cross? Does it lie with the truth of God's word? Do you wake up looking for more opportunities to serve the Lord? Or are you concerned about getting your flesh fixed? Or are you trying to find some joy in this world? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. God wants us to demonstrate our love towards him by a commitment to him. Jesus said, you should love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Conclusion, friends, the solution to apostasy in the church is found in 1 John 1:6. Every Christian needs to return to the measurement, the standard of God's word in order to correctly measure and test each other's spirits teaching. 1 John 4:1 through 6 tells us this. Got a few minutes. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not God, not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby you know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of the devil. See, it's real simple. Those that's hearing you and you're of God are those who God sent to hear you. You're just a messenger, but God will use you as a vessel because you're speaking the truth. You're not speaking lies. You're not causing people to stumble. Ephesians 5:27 tells us this, that he might present to it a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what the church that Jesus built does. That's what the church of Jesus Christ does. It's holy. It's blameless. It's without spot or wrinkle. Which one are you? Which one am I? Revelation 19:7-8 tells us this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Hallelujah. Are you part of the church of Jesus Christ? Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the time in your word. And we ask, Father God, that you would raise up anybody who has been an apostate. Bring them back home, Lord. Bring them to the cross. They would no longer be lost, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, friends, church is not dead. Yes, there is a great apostasy going on. Those that walk away from God, that's to their own destruction. Because where you gonna go from? Where you gonna go when you have truth? When you heard truth? When you receive truth? When you know truth? Where you gonna go back to? There's no truth in the world. It's all mixed around with lies. Truth can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Truth can only be found when we surrender to the true Savior. Friends, we need to be grateful. If you're sitting in a solid Bible teaching church where the Word of God is being brought to you week in and week out, and you're being encouraged to read your Bible, study your Bible, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, then you need to be—you need to count it all joy that you're not being duped by false teachers who want to come and brainwash you and steal your joy with lies and put you under a heavy yoke of bondage. Don't be one of these that fall into apostasy. Don't be one of these that that the devil will use you and destroy you. And use you to destroy others' lives. You've got many people in the so-called church right now. You've got many people in the so-called church using them, destroying them, and they're vessels of hell. I want to thank you guys for your time today. I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. It's 4:02 p.m. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you.